as I thought about John imprisoned on the island of Patmos, the closest that I could imagine was walking a smaller island surrounded by the temperamental North Atlantic. And that would be the exposed and windswept island of Iona off the west coast of Scotland. Both Patmos and Iona are very small islands. Both are significant pilgrimage sites for modern Christians. Both are isolated. Both are indeed surrounded by the sea. In each case, the sea presents as a formidable barrier to the rest of the world, especially if one is imprisoned where there is no means of escape. For John, the sea separated him from his beloved communities of faith and served to cut him off from the relationships that were so important to him. Alone on a small island, flung into the middle of the Aegean Sea, John calls to mind a beautifully rich vision of God's intent for renovating the cosmos. There is a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Full stop. And the sea was no more. As a prisoner on an island, one can begin to imagine the significance of the sea. The powerful thing that is the source of separation from loved ones and community. So there is great comfort in knowing that in God's newly renovated and recreated world, the separating power of the sea is no longer present. The sea is a symbol that runs through the ancient texts and, of course, through the book of Revelation. And through Revelation, according to one commentator, sea has represented the chaotic power of uncreation, of anti-creation, the abysmal depth from which the dragon arises to torment the earth, the very opposite of the Creator God. Driven back at creation, held at bay during the eons of history, in the new creation, sea will vanish forever. Evil, even as a potential disturber of creation, will have been irrevocably overcome. Sea, the sea. Not only will the sea, with its powers of separation and disturber of creation, disappear forever, all that gets in the way of a joy-filled, vibrant life will also be removed from God's new earth. Tears, death, crying, pain will be no more. Even the most glorious of human-built cities will pale in comparison to the holy city, an ages-old symbol of God's desire, where the people of God live in a state of rest, because through divine love, more is provided than is needed. The holy city is a divine place of peace and well-being. And then, .. Not only that, God chooses to make God's home among the people. God will dwell with them. God will be with them. This is what John is dreaming while living an imprisoned existence on an isolated island in the sea, which will be no more. So, why this passage today? It's showing up today because it is a beautiful way to help us capture the loving intentions of God. Think about it. In this revelatory vision of John, all that gets in the way of love between God and God's people is removed. And not only that, God chooses to dwell among the people, making God's people their home. Making God's people God's home. So again, the image is grounded in the Hebrew scriptures, where God pitches a tent amongst the people of Moses and travels wherever they go. Or consider the words of Ruth and Naomi, where God says, "Wherever you go, I will go. You will be my people, and I will be your God." God's home is traditionally among God's people. It is real. It is a sense of an embodied presence. And the message throughout the ages is that we are never alone. I think that's absolutely key to understanding the deeper aspects of John's words in Revelation 21. This is a passage that is essentially about relationship. It's a text about how God seeks relationship and goes to great extents to remove any barriers that serve to separate people from God and each other as God's people. The watery and chaotic deep that serves to separate us from love and disturb creation is no more. The pang of separation due to pain and death is eased as God so compassionately wipes away our tears. How intimate is the love of God that approaches us in these deep moments of loss and separation. In John's words, we hear echoes of the Apostle Paul, who proclaims that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I invite us to let the mystery of John's words take up residence in our hearts, to dwell within us. This wisdom is what drives meaning and purpose regarding our life together. It is all done through the gracious presence of God living at home and dwelling among us. This is no small matter. It really is not. It means life to us. And you know what? It has nothing to do with how smart we are, how hard we work, or how right we are in our belief. It has everything to do with the fact that we love because God loves us first. Our love starts there. It starts with God choosing to live among us and be with us and wipe away our tears. God is always working right from the very earliest utterances of the tradition. God is always working to temper separation by adding in the right conditions for a just and loving relationship. Always. Jesus says, "Come all who are weary, and I will give you rest." We rest in God's loving relationship with us. Do you see now the work we practice in the studio of God's love? Do you see why what we do as a Christian community matters? Do you see how significant it is that we fund God's studio of love and make it happen? We mustn't be indifferent when it comes to being God's people. Our job is to grow our community life, supporting one another so that we, being loved by God, can be agents of God's love for each other and for those we meet every day. And you know what? I'm sorry, but we don't retire from this task. We don't retire from God's love. Ever. We live in God's love all the time so that God's love can move within and all around us all the time. It's not a job. It's a vocation. It's a calling. So what we do here and beyond these walls is more than worthy of our investments. In fact, we need to invest even more, I think. It is simply remembering that God is at home with us. Our capacity to nourish relationships strengthened by the one who loves us first and continues to love us while causing the sea to be no more and making sure that it and nothing else can separate us from God's love and the graciousness of loving those around us. Without spending another 30 minutes unpacking this, I simply want to underline that what we do here matters. It matters even more. To be God's studio of love, to take what we learn and the arts that we practice into the world around us, that is becoming even more divisive and even more intolerant. I remember standing on the highest point at the north end of the island of Iona. It's called Dunee. The island of Iona is essentially a big rock out in the ocean. And then the north end is its highest point. And when you climb and hike your way up to that point, you can see the whole island. While up there, I was more than aware that the sea was on all sides of me. Yet I had the most amazing awareness that I was not alone. God was with me, and there was nothing that I needed to fear, even the height. Nothing could separate me from God's love. It was as if the sea was no more.